Book of Acts, if you take your Bibles and turn with me now, Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 28. Our message series is called Church on the Move. We're seeing how the early church moved forward with the gospel and obedience to the command of Jesus. These past few weeks, we've been traveling along in the church's first missionary journey. And today, as we come to the close of that journey, we discover something surprising. When Paul and Barnabas get to the end of their journey, instead of continuing to move forward with the gospel, we see them pull a reverse course. We see them turn around and start going back the way they came. And you go, well, what's up with that? Well, that's what our message is about this morning. So we're in Acts 14, and I'm going to start by reading verses 21 and 22. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Well, dear God, as we look into your word this morning, these verses and the passage following, I pray that you would speak to us from this passage. Lord, help us to not just focus on what happened then, but Lord, what it means for us today, both as a church and as individuals seeking to follow you and be true to you in our own faith, Lord. So help us, we pray, give us ears to hear your word and what your spirit would be speaking. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So when we get to this verse today, Acts 14, verse 21, Paul and Barnabas have reached the end of their mission trip. Or have they? Well, you know what? They could have just continued east and gone home at this point. I'm going to put the map up here for you. And let's just trace where they've been. They started, we see where it says Syria on the right above it's Antioch. That's where they began. That was their sending church. Follow the solid arrow down to the island of Cyprus. They went across Cyprus. They sailed up to Perga. They went up through Lycia, up into the Galatian area. They went to Antioch there in the upper left, to Iconium, Lycaonia, and Derbe. You can see it's just a big circle, isn't it? All they got to do is just hop over to Antioch now. They could even go through Tarsus. That's Saul's hometown. Just hop over to Tarsus, stay home to family. Then either go around the corner or sail across the bay, and you're back home. Real easy to do. Or they could have gone, continued evangelizing new areas. Instead, what did they do? They reversed course. They went back and revisited all the churches they had just established despite all the opposition they experienced there. You might question, why would they do this? It's because they understood the importance of follow-up. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning is follow-up. And follow-up is an essential part of making disciples. In fact, when it comes to making disciples, follow-up is just as important as evangelism. And so instead of ending their mission trip there in Derbe, right, and just heading home, Paul and Barnabas retrace their steps. They revisit the believers in the cities where they previously ministered. And as we follow their journey all the way back to Antioch, we discover three vital principles related to follow-up in Christian ministry. Principle number one we'll look at is the importance of discipleship. Number two, the importance of leadership. And then finally, number three, the importance of accountability. You'll find all three of those points on the outline in your worship guide if you'd like to take that out to follow along. Maybe jot down some notes as we go. But first of all, in revisiting the believers, Paul and Barnabas show us the importance of discipleship. Let's go back to those opening verses we just read, verses 21 and 22. They preached the good news in that city. That's Derbe, right? That was the final city in their trip. They preached the good news in Derbe and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships, they said, to enter the kingdom of God. So they preached the gospel in Derbe. They win a large number of disciples there. Notice something here, that Christians are called disciples of Jesus from the very moment they first believed, right? They shared the gospel. People believed. They won disciples. A disciple is simply someone who is following Jesus. And the first step in following Jesus is believing in him. By the way, this is the first time on the whole missionary trip that we don't hear of any opposition to the gospel, right? Every place they've gone, there is opposition. We don't read anything about that here. We just said they preached the good news of Jesus. They won many disciples. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't any opposition. There might have been, but it's interesting. It's not mentioned. It's not highlighted as it has been in each of the previous cities. But now, as we've seen, Paul and Barnabas do something unexpected. And, you know, instead of continuing their missionary journey or completing the loop and heading straight back to Antioch, what do? They retrace their steps and they revisit the cities they've already visited. And these are places where they experienced opposition and persecution. They reverse course and they go back now in reverse order, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, where they'd already preached the gospel. And, you know, what's amazing here is, you know, they were almost home. They just had to finish the loop. In fact, by reversing course, what are they doing? They're actually heading away from home, the opposite direction. In effect, they were taking the long way home. But there is a reason for it. Why would they do this? Because of the importance of discipleship. You see, missions is not just about evangelism, but also discipleship. Just because they had already won disciples in the previous cities, that didn't mean those new disciples, that they didn't need to be discipled. And I know it sounds funny, but all disciples need to be discipled. That's the way it works. Are you a believer in Jesus? I hope your answer is yes. You can say yes if you are. Are you a believer in Jesus? Yes. That means you are a disciple of Jesus, and guess what? That means you need to be discipled. Disciples need to be discipled. You might say, well, wasn't it important for other people to hear about Jesus too? Of course. But it was also important that these new believers be established in their faith. And so Paul and Barnabas, they go back. They go back to each of the cities, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. That's an interesting phrase. What does that mean, to be true to the faith? Well, that phrase, the faith here, that's a code word, okay, for doctrine or the core teaching that every Christian needs to know. At other times in Scripture, it's also called the tradition or the good deposit or teaching or simply the truth. The core teaching would have included such things as, obviously, the gospel, but also teaching about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the scriptures, the church, basically all the types of things we find Paul writing about in his letters, right? Paul shared the core teaching with the churches in his letters. Those letters, by the way, were read in the churches along with the Old Testament scriptures as the very word of God. Now, Paul and Barnabas had encountered opposition in these cities. That means the new believers were also experiencing opposition. And so Paul and Barnabas reminded them that hardships for believers, that's normal. They told them we have to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. It's like the words of the old song, right? You can't wear the crown if you don't bear the cross. As believers, we go through many hardships on the way to heaven. So think about it. Why is it that some would-be disciples, some people who initially respond to Jesus, why is it that they turn back? The answer is simple, because it's hard. It's hard to follow Jesus. That was one of the points Jesus made in the parable of the soils. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places, said Jesus, is the man who hears the word, at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Paul and Barnabas came back to make sure that these new believers had deep roots so that they would not fall away because of persecution. So that's the first reason Paul and Barnabas reversed course and followed up with the new believers, because of the importance of discipleship. But they not only went back to strengthen the disciples in these cities, they also went back to appoint elders for them. Appointing elders. And now we're going to turn from the importance of discipleship to the importance of leadership. Now, church elders in the New Testament, those are the same as pastors. Okay, these are those leaders whom God calls to shepherd the church. The qualifications for elders or pastors are listed in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1. There's usually a team. You'd have a team of pastors or elders in the New Testament churches. It's good to have a team of pastors or elders in churches today. I thank God for my fellow elders and pastors in this church, Pastor Layton, Pastor Sean, Pastor Dan over here, who help share the load. You know, as we encourage each other, as we sharpen each other, as we lovingly lead this church together in Christ. I want you to look at their very prayerful, careful selection of leaders. Now in verse 23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. Now, normally we find churches selecting their own pastors or elders, but here Paul and Barnabas did it for them. Probably because these were young believers, new believers, young congregations. They needed some help. Paul and Barnabas came alongside and helped them in selecting the right men for the job. Notice they did this in each church, not just in some of the churches. Every church needs called, qualified, biblical leadership. Notice they did this with prayer and fasting as they committed them to the Lord. This shows a prayerful, careful selection of leaders for the church. It's similar to what we do with ordination today. That is also a careful, prayerful process. Notice also they committed these leaders to the Lord. Not necessarily to the church or to the church governing board, but no, they committed them to the Lord who had called them into ministry. Notice finally that the Lord here is described as him in whom they, these new leaders, had put their trust. Number one qualification for a pastor, trust in God rather than self. Got to put God first. Your trust has to be in him. When I candidated for the position of pastor here at Plantation Community back in 2012, the pastor will get up and they'll preach a message. And the pastor who's preaching it hopes it's a good message because they may decide whether or not they're going to call you, right? And I still remember the title of my message. Maybe some of you remember it. Title of my message, as I'm standing up, hoping the church is going to call me to be pastor, was, "I can't do this." That was the title of my message. I can't do this. You know, probably not the best way to inspire confidence in a congregation that's praying about calling you as their pastor. But, you know, fortunately, there was a second part to the message. I can't do this, but God can. And that's the message we hold to even today. See, it's not enough to evangelize. We must also disciple. And it's not enough to personally disciple. We need leaders in churches who can continue that process of discipleship when we are gone. So Paul and Barnabas, they couldn't stay. They appointed elders for them in each church. And with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. And then after stopping in each one of these cities to disciple the believers and appoint elders, they stopped in Derby, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, each one. Let's strengthen the believers. Let's establish elders. Now they continued on their way back to Antioch. And just because they are who they are, they stopped and did some more evangelism on the way, right? Yeah, wherever you are, there's people. They need the gospel. Look at verses 24 and 25. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, that's a whole lot of P's, isn't it? They went down to Attalia. So we'll put our map back up again. You can see what they're doing here. They were in Derbe. They just had to go around the corner, but they go back to Lystra. They go up to Iconium. They work their way up to Antioch. They come all the way down to Perga. Maybe they're waiting for their ship or something to go from Italy. It's like, hey, we're here. Let's share the gospel. They continue preaching the word. There are two pillars of missionary work, evangelism and discipleship. In evangelism, We make disciples of Jesus. In discipleship, we strengthen disciples of Jesus. In appointing elders, we ensure the ministry of discipleship continues long after we are gone. So we've looked at the importance of discipleship as Paul and Barnabas retraced their steps. We've looked at the importance of leadership as they appointed elders in each church. Finally, we are going to look at the importance of accountability. Accountability as they report back to the church in Antioch. Look at verses 26 through 28 now. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples in Antioch. So it was a long, hard journey. We'll put our map up one more time. Let's follow their journey now. Go to the right side of the map where it says Syria. Go up and see where it says Antioch. Follow the solid line. They went down to Cyprus, across Cyprus, up to Perga, up through the mountainous territory of Lycia, up into Galatia, where Paul would later write the letter to the Galatians. They went to Antioch up there, over to Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. Now you follow the dotted line back to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, down to Perga. Notice they go straight to Antioch. They don't go back to Cyprus. We don't know why. It could be that they shared the gospel in Cyprus. We don't read that they established a church there. So maybe there wasn't a church for them to appoint elders. But it could have been any reason. Maybe it was bad weather and they just couldn't go down that way. So, you head back to Antioch. But I love the way Luke describes the church at Antioch. He says, this is where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. If you remember back at Antioch, the church at Antioch had committed Paul and Barnabas to the Lord. How? With prayer and fasting. Just as Paul and Barnabas then did with the elders in each church during their reverse course. Notice their work was not completed until they went back to the cities they had previously evangelized to strengthen the disciples and appoint elders. In other words, this was not additional work for them. This was part of the work. This is part of the missionary work to which they had been called. But now they're back in Antioch. The missionary journey was now complete. We don't know how they knew that was when their job was done, but they just knew. God spoke to them. They completed the work they set out to do, and then they returned home. When they got back to Antioch, they called the whole church together and gave them a full report. In many ways, even this reporting back, that's part of the work, right? We are accountable to those who send and support us in ministry. And they did two things here. First, they told them all that God had done through them. Notice how they put the focus on God. This is what God has done. They gave God the glory in everything. They'd been committed to this work by God's grace. It was by God's grace they completed the work, not by their own efforts. John Stott writes, the grace had come from him. The glory must go to him. They didn't give a partial report. They told everything. They didn't want to leave anything out. God was doing great things. They wanted the church to hear it all. And then secondly, they especially told how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Notice it is God who opens the door of faith. We share the gospel, but God opens the door. And the big detail here is that God had just done this for the Gentiles. And the gospel was going forth to the world just as Jesus had commanded. Paul and Barnabas have been gone for 2 years. How would you like to sign up for a 2-year mission trip? I've gone on some 2-week mission trips, and I'm really glad to get home after 2 weeks away from home and family. Imagine being gone 2 years. They successfully shared the gospel. They planted churches. They discipled new believers. They appointed leadership in the churches. And Luke closes out the chapter by telling us Paul and Barnabas then stayed in Antioch, their sending church. They stayed there for a long time. You know what? It's a good thing they did. Because some troublemakers were about to arrive from Judea. More on that next week. I love leaving you with those little teasers, right? Bring you on back. But troublemakers, we'll get to that next week. Hey, the applications from today's message are simple. They are drawn straight from our text. First up is the importance of discipleship. It's not enough to win people to Christ. We must establish them in their faith. And you know, that's part of follow-up, following up with people. You know, when you witness to someone, don't just leave them there. Follow up with them. I have a friend. He's got a really cool thing. Instead of a business card, I've got it right here with me, he calls it a friend card. Friend card. It's got his name in the top, and instead of what business he does, it just says, a friend. Isn't that nice? And then he gives his cell number and his email and the website of his church. And then he says, call, email, or text if you need help with solutions to life's problems, how to know God, or how to have eternal life. He says every person he witnesses to, you know, he'll leave them with a tract and he'll leave them with his card. Why? So he can follow up. You know, if you just share the gospel with someone and walk away, you know, what if they prayed to receive and they, well, I want to learn more. They don't know how to reach you. What a great idea, a friend card. I might have some of these made up. I just met with this friend this week. This is the first time I've seen this. It was in this past week. Pretty neat. Importance of disciples. Secondly, the importance of leadership. It's not enough to plant churches. We must ensure there is qualified leadership in each church. Now, this application point, this also applies to when you are either looking for a church, you're in between churches after a move or something like that. When you're looking for a church or you are recommending a church for someone else, make sure that the church you attend or recommend, make sure that is a church that has biblically qualified leadership. And then finally, there's the importance of accountability. It's not enough to do missions or ministry. We must be accountable to those who send and support. These are important principles for us as we talk about being a church on the move, because sometimes we can be so focused on moving forward that we forget about those we've already reached. And that's where follow-up is so important. New believers are spiritual babies in Christ. They are sitting ducks for the enemy. And when we first come to Christ, all of us, we need to be taught, we need to be encouraged, we need to be strengthened in the faith. And guess what? This will actually increase evangelism in the long run. Because you can only share Christ personally with so many people yourself. But you see, when you disciple someone who has come to Christ, and now they can share their faith with others, and then when they disciple those new people who have come to Christ, and then those new believers are sharing their faith, discipleship makes for more evangelism. Follow-up is an essential part of making disciples. We need to follow up with believers by discipling them. We follow up with churches by making sure they have qualified leaders. We follow up with our supporters by sharing with them all that God is doing through us. Sometimes the way forward is back. Don't just share your faith with people and move on. Reverse course. Go back and disciple them. Follow up with them. Make sure that they are attending biblically based churches with qualified leaders. Report back to others and share the good things God is doing. Yes, we are called to be a church on the move. But as we move forward with the gospel, let's also be careful that we don't leave anyone behind. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word, such important principles we learn from the example of Paul and Barnabas in this last leg of their mission trip. It would have been so easy just to pop in at Tarsus and then just hop around the corner back to Antioch. But Lord, they knew the importance of going back and discipling and leadership and then reporting back to their church. And so, Lord, I pray that we would lay hold of these principles in our own lives. Maybe some of us will be inspired to put a friend card together. So as we share the gospel, we have ways of people getting back to us or taking their numbers so we can follow up with them. And Lord, we just pray for our churches and for biblical qualified leadership. And we thank you for our missionaries. Lord, I thank you for our missionaries who are coming in August to report back to us. And we look forward to that. Thank you for your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.